Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Karen from Chico, California. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. It's really fun to be here.
Great. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your experience of email classes.
Well, I think I've taken almost every email class that's ever been offered since I found out about them. I think I've I love them. The one I missed, I was gone. So, and then I wished I hadn't missed that one because they're a wonderful experience of, we get actual teaching from Sherry, and it's an opportunity to get guidance from her, and it's a real Sangha experience. We learn from each other, and kind of a way to really touch in with the practice and with Sangha, and everybody looking together deeply at whatever it is we're looking at, you know, during the class, but it's just a wonderful way to practice.
Yes. And for people who may not have done one yet, do you want to give a little background about just the general structure of it and how it works?
Yeah. So, assignments, Sherry will usually send out some teaching with an assignment twice a week, and we get to do those assignments and see what our experience is of how we do it and what we see, and we sit with it, and then when we've gotten some clarity on it for ourselves, we write in with an email response. And there's an email address, and we all write into the same address, and we keep it to 50 words. That's we sort of condense it down, and we keep it to a maximum of 50 words.
And so those responses are collected and all the names are removed, so it's anonymous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get responses back. And so Sherry will read all of the emails, and then she responds to a sort of a representative sample of all the emails, and she sends those out to the class, and I think those come out twice a week, and we read those, and the ones that don't come out, they're actually posted on the web. We can go to the web, and there's a way we can, those of us who are in the email class can actually access and read all of the responses that weren't out.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it's really a great Sangha experience.
It's a wonderful Sangha experience, and it's such a great way to feel connected and a part of Sangha, and I always learn so much from everybody.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I know when I'm reading the responses, I can see myself in almost everyone, and if there's one where I don't think I see myself, that's a really good place to look also.
Yeah, that's true for me too. Yeah.
So are we going to have any opportunities coming up for email classes?
Well, we are. There's one coming up November 1st, and it's called It's a Time to Feel Good, and it's going to go from November 21st to November 28th.
From the 1st of November.
Yeah, from the 1st of November to the 28th of November. So it'll be a month long,
yeah,
or 4 weeks long. And I think we can still sign up until October 30th.
Yes, which is this Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And this is a great combination with the new book, Sherry's new book that just came out.
Yes. Yeah. What you practice is what you have.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm about in the middle of reading that book, and I'm really enjoying it.
Great, great. I am too.
Yeah, and it should be a really great class.
Yes, yes. Particularly
yeah,
with the holidays coming up also, which I can speak for myself, is can be a challenging time with family and change of schedules, and to have that in my inbox every day is really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, absolutely. To stay, it helps me to really stay connected with my heart. And sometimes around the holidays, I can get caught up. I can be more vulnerable to my conditioning. And so it's a really nice way to sort of stay with my own heart and really get to enjoy that time of year, like I think it was intended to be, an enjoyable time of year.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And it's interesting for me. I remember when I signed up for my first email class many years ago, thinking that, you know, how much can I get out of an email? You know, I sit at my computer all day, and email is not something that usually inspires me. And as usual, with the power of practice, I feel that Sangha experience coming through whatever channel it happens to come through. In this case, it's email.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, that that's my experience too. And it's, you know, when I love being in the classes, and I love looking at what we're looking at, and I always really miss them when they're over. It's just a wonderful thing to be connected that way.
Yes, yes, yes. And what's coming up for me now, as you say that, is Sherry's willingness to offer practice through every possible communication medium known to man, including all of the ones that technology, you know, has just invented yesterday, it seems like.
Yeah, yes, that's, it is. It's I always have that sense, too, of how it really is such a loving, generous gift to all of us. And I guess in a way I would include all of us in that because we're all contributing too, but it's just, I always feel that when I'm in that class. I feel a lot of gratitude and just I feel so supported and so held, I guess I'd say.
Yes, yes. It's that giving and receiving all the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, which for me is really fun because I make a contribution, I write into the class, and Sherry guides us, and everybody else writes in. And as usual, when we all show up with our willingness and courage and willingness to look at conditioning or leave it aside, it's a real magical experience.
Yeah, it is really a magical thing. Yeah. And I remember when I first started taking email classes, it always felt really, it seemed important that I would read my own email, that would get sent out. But, and now it's like sometimes I can't tell which one I've written when I come back out. They all, you know, it's like, wow, that, you know, that sounds like what I'm going through, or that sounds like what I was looking at. And it just, it doesn't that's, I'm not looking for that anymore. I just love reading what's been written, and it doesn't matter. You know, it's all, it's just this wonderful opportunity to learn and to have this experience.
Yes, yes, definitely. Very fun.
Yeah.
Karen, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay, we will. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Good evening, Michael.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
So that email class sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yes.
And it sounds like it's going to connect up nicely with the new book that's out.
Yes.
Excited about that.
Yes.
I was just writing about it today, as a matter of fact, that actually an encouragement for people to do this class, because I'm as excited about this work as I was about There's Nothing Wrong With You when that came out nearly, 20 years ago now.
Wow, has it been 20 years?
I think so, something like that, 15, 20 years.
Wow.
And, you know, it's, that, I mean, that was groundbreaking. That was transformative, with all capital letters. And I'm optimistic that this work might actually go beyond that.
Great.
So I'm really hopeful that people will get started doing it. And as I said in what I was writing today, I really want to be available to support people at these early stages of the work, because, you know, when something is new and unfamiliar, karmic conditioning can really mess with us.
Yes.
So
yes.
We had a whole retreat on it in Connecticut last week, and the watching people do the work and have the response that the work is meant to provide was very was quite thrilling for me, because you know, I come up with something like this, and then it's kind of like, ooh, you know, is it going to work? Will people get it? Will it be helpful? Will they be able to use it? And to watch people have the experience and just see the change that happens in them as a result of doing it is really quite thrilling.
Yes, yes. Transformative in all capitals.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I neglected to mention one thing about the sign-up for the email class, and that is that there's a discount for monthly donors.
Sure.
And that there's a special link for them to click on the sign-up page. So look for monthly donors in bold and follow that link.
Yeah, and we just, this email or this message that's coming out, I guess it's an email with all sorts of links, is also telling people that if you want to get the book before the class, it's not a requirement. It would be fun and helpful, no doubt about it, but that if they follow the links in that, they'll be able to, we'll shoot the book out to them as fast as it's possible to get a book to wherever.
Oh, great. Great. And maybe enough days for them to get it.
Yeah. Well, at least, you know, before the class, we're too far into the class.
Yes. Yes. Great. Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
This Friday night, people can catch you at Open Secret Bookstore in San Rafael at 7:30 p.m.
Yes.
And on November 6th, you'll be doing a workshop in San Diego.
Hmm.
Following week, November 13th, at the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
At East West Bookstore in Mountain View on Thursday, November 18th in the evening. And at another East West in Seattle, and that's on December 9th. And you'll be back to Mountain View for a workshop at the Mountain View Zen Center on December 11th. Capping the year off will be the New Year's Retreat. at Santa Sabina.
Yes.
December 27th to January 1st.
A thrilling way to finish out the year.
Yes, yes.
For me anyway.
Great.
I can hope for everybody else.
And I wanted to remind our callers before we get on the air to focus on one topic, if they could, during their conversation with you.
Yeah. We hear from a lot of people that they they're despairing of ever getting on. So, yeah, if we tone down what we're doing, actually, and then everybody else shortens up a little bit, we might be able to get more and more people on, which would be very nice.
Okay, let's get started.
Thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, thanks.
Good, good.
Yeah. I was just sitting here. I tried to call last week, and then I accidentally hung up the phone while I was waiting. And I'm thinking, now, what was I going to talk about last week? And I think I remember, and it's just I had an interesting insight during a reflective listening call that, and I just heard myself say something like that, if I can give some time, like in the two chair exercise, give some time to the guy who wants to do practice, that everyone will be taken care of. And it rang true with me, and then a little while, and I went ahead and did that, and because I'd never actually done that before with the two chairs, and boy, that guy, there's some energy and enthusiasm there.
Uh-huh.
It was something else. He was just talking, had a big smile on his face. I mean, I could just really just feel it in my body, just getting all wound up in a good way, just all totally energized and talking about, well, you know, talking about just, you know, just the kind of things I can do to support myself in this practice.
Yeah.
With whether it's reminders or things that vibrate or all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I had a talk with a woman this afternoon who was actually on that retreat I mentioned in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And she was saying that after coming back from the retreat, she was aware of the voices in her head in a way that she hadn't been before. And what she was aware of was what a habit it was to listen to we could call it the negativity. You know, this is wrong with this, this doesn't work, why that? You know, just this conversation that was always there as kind of the muzak to her life that she never really heard until essentially she did what you did, which is listen to somebody who wants to have a different life experience, who wants to be in a conversation about what works and how to support and feel supported and offer support and be that kind of support for everybody else. You know, it's just, it's, we could say it's the same habit, the same kind of habit, but the content is so different that it changes the process of the rest of our lives.
Yeah, yeah, and for me, it, you know, what I also did that same time was I also gave some airtime to a very different character who's the guy who doesn't want to be married anymore,
uh-huh.
And that he comes up when, you know, we have the inevitable rough patches in our relationship, and I didn't really know what to say to him. I just drew a blank, but I could just feel my whole body go flunk, and the energy just gets sucked out, and I could just feel that. I know what it feels like when I'm there, and it was just there, and it was just. And I'm reminded of that when you were talking about the I can't remember the phrase you just used, but the habit of listening and don't even really listen and just
yeah.
Well, I'm wanting to choose a different thing to listen to.
Yes. Yeah. You know, that kind of situation is a really interesting one, because it reminds me, and of course I know you have children, so this can be really familiar, but a child wants to have Halloween candy for breakfast. And we go to that place of, I know you do. I hear you. I know you do. You really do want that. And the answer is no, that's not going to happen. And, you know, that can be upsetting to you, or you can get angry or have whatever emotions you've got about that. But that's the reality that we're going to live with, and that's just how it is. And it's the same kind of proposition that we run into when a part of us comes up who says something like, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. I don't want to be a parent anymore. I don't want to go to work anymore. Whatever it is that comes from, not from a centered place, okay, because from a centered place, we don't get to, I don't want to do this anymore. But comes from a part of us who is identified with a certain perspective or reality or whatever it is. And we can be sympathetic, we can understand, we can listen, and then the answer is, and this is the way it is. And then we get to that's the end of the conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really wasn't a conversation. I couldn't. I said, yeah, uh-huh. And then I just had no response to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we can have sympathy.
Yeah.
We can. And it's not going to be something that I'm going to entertain to the point that it has to move into a place of where it's taking the energy from my life.
Yes.
Yeah, because that's a part of me who feels that way. Or, I mean, we guess it's a part of me. Could just be karmic conditioning trying to make a lot of trouble. But even if it is, you know, there was somebody in me before, before I committed to whatever it is that I've committed to, who had a life, and that life doesn't exist in that way any longer, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, I just really wanted to share that because it was neat to feel the energy, and I really look forward to getting some, letting this guy loose more, because
yes.
I do want a different life.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if this is, this is the actual place that you're with this, but, that guy will have a lot of really good ideas for supporting anybody who actually wants to be supported.
Uh-huh.
If it's karmic conditioning, of course, they're just going to, those voices are just going to find him annoying and want him to shut up. But if it's authentic, if they're real parts of you who have wants and needs and concerns and that sort of thing, and they're not getting met, and maybe there's something that will never be met on the content level, but that fellow who wants to support everybody to have the life they want to have can help them have the feelings they want, the love, the acceptance, the caring, the whatever it is, within the structure of life as it exists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I get it. I'm hearing you, what I heard you say was something like, I can use this practice man, basically, sort of go to him for ideas, essentially,
yes,
to support other folks.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Yes, that's great.
And
okay.
So it really is a win-win. He gets to do what he loves to do. It's a win-win-win. He gets to do what he loves to do. The other folks feel cared for and supported. And you get to have all of that, we would say, positive energy, that well-being energy, instead of being dragged down into one of these habitual what's wrong conversations.
Great.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for that. And I'll be seeing you in December up here for a brief.
I look forward to it. You're going to bring
too.
The whole family? Make those kids come?
That's an idea. I don't know if I want to ruin awareness practice forever, though. So that, but there'll be at least two of us.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I love that. Practice man.
Yeah.
Personality. Reminds me of Awareness Junkie Man.
Exactly. I mean, just the kind of person you want to hang out with from the heart.
Yes.
From center. And again, karmic conditioning is going to want to push him off the nearest high building. But too bad.
Yes. Yes. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is George.
Hey, George.
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael.
Hi.
How goes it?
It's been a challenge. I have been ramping up my practice because the voices of self-hate have had me on the ropes. And it's been pretty rough. So I've been out every day for at least an hour and a half, walking, listening to my supportive tape and adding to it, and as well as the usual practices that I do. I just added that part to it because obviously it's going to take a relentless effort on my part to try to break through these incessant voices of conditioned self-hate.
So, George, that is a good image for all of us to take in. It's going to take the same kind of relentless campaign to unseat that team of hateful folks. That they are using against you, right? It's gonna take the same effort on your part, maybe even a little more effort on your part, to tip the balance in your favor.
Yeah, I think in my case, I need an implant. You know, something that is literally constant.
Yeah, just
you know,
the
all day,
chip.
All night, it's mm-hmm. it's going. You know, mm-hmm. it's the antidote loop.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it we laugh, but it's true. So,
yeah.
So there's that relentless campaign, and we are taught or led to believe by that campaign that we could just, you know, pay attention once in a while and everything will be all right.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. I had this morning routine down that's about 2 hours of yoga and meditation and, you know, reassurances and, you know, doing reflective listening at least once a week and all of that. And transform your life, and I didn't realize, but I was coasting with that. You know, it was.
You're on maintenance.
I thought, well, this is it. I've got the formula. It's working. It worked, or it seemed to work beautifully for months and months and months. And you know, obviously at this point it isn't enough. So the addition of the walking. You know, I'd done that for the last, well, I didn't do it this morning because I woke up with some kind of a bug or something. So I'm a little, energy is drained, but hopefully I'll get back on it tomorrow. But I realized I needed something. Okay, I'm doing that. I'm doing my usual stuff. I've added the walks with the tape. Okay, obviously I need something more because I can feel, you know, I can feel as though this, all of that is like pouring concrete. You know, it's like pouring a foundation. I do feel that's happening, that all of the work is gradually pouring a foundation. I just can't see anything. When you look at a house that's being built and it's just a foundation, you don't see anything, you know, but there's a foundation going in there. But at the same time, it's not enough to turn things around right now. So,
right.
So this, the other morning I was in the shower and I heard this voice say that, you know, I was feeling the warmth of the water, and it actually, I started to feel good. And immediately the voice came in and said, no, you can't feel good. You can't enjoy this shower.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh, well, I've heard, the voice did exactly the same thing to me about a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever. And I said, wait a minute. Caught it in the act, you know, and so I said, okay, I'm starting a program called Caught in the Act. And I'm just going to, every time I'm able to identify that voice coming in, and which is kind of like any time that I'm going like this, you know, taking an even, you know, feeling even worse than the normal run of things, then, okay, what's the voice saying? And then I write the voice down. And what I'm finding is that the voice is, I can usually catch the voice in some kind of a lie. Not always, but very often. I write it down exactly what it's saying to me, what it's telling me is going to happen. And first of all, it's obvious that it doesn't know what's going to happen. And then usually what happens, or at least 50 to 75% of the time what happens, is not what the voice said was going to happen. So, so that's been helpful.
Good for you. Those kinds of, again, we're meant to be so passive.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes in and tells you what you can and can't enjoy and how you need to feel and what's wrong with you. And just and we're supposed to just kind of accept it, just take it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every time we do any kind of process that confronts it, where we're taking the lead. So I'm going to go after that. I'm going to write down those lies. I'm going to follow up and prove that they're lies. It's not a, one step forward, one step back. When we move into that relationship with karmic conditioning, we're taking multiple steps. And it's having more and more trouble pushing us back.
This is my hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of things are going on with that. One, you're listening more carefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's huge right there, because that means you're more present. And
mm-hmm.
as you know very well from that little shower conversation and many others that you've witnessed, we have to be paying close attention, because otherwise those messages are designed to slip in kind of subliminally. So
mm-hmm.
if we're getting
yeah.
those all
yeah.
day long and we're not aware of them, then pretty soon we're so beaten down.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a piece of kryptonite in the mind, you know, that's constantly sending out these subliminal,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
you know, anti-energy messages or whatever,
yes.
you know, just sucking the energy.
Yeah. So you're paying closer attention. You're being proactive. You know, you get the message, you write it down, you acknowledge that it's a lie, you follow up, you prove that it's a lie. This is a lot of moments of being present and attentive that used to be moments where those voices could just do what they wanted to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It's got to be, it's constant. As they are constant, we must be constant. And, of course, in my experience, that's a, well, good, because it's also the most fun way to live. You know, after a while, what you're listening to, as you know, is you in conversation with you about your life and what you're enjoying and what it means to you and, you know, what's exciting and fun and loving and whatever else it goes on, whatever else goes on and whatever else you want in your life. Okay, that's what the conversation with you, from you to you, is. And increasingly, there's no room for that other conversation that's designed to take your life away from you.
Yeah, and it seems like the other element of the whole thing is just being patient.
Yes.
Because there's this part of me that just wants to get back into the light room, you know, because
yes.
It's just so great there. I mean,
yes.
You know, of course.
It is.
You know?
Yep.
It's wonderful there.
Yep.
And so there's this impatient part of me that's just like, you know, God, this has got to work. You know, I've got to make this work. It's got to happen. It's got to happen soon. And I just have to be patient and trust the process.
Yes. And again, in other, at least one other religion, that kind of, unexpected trip to the light room is called a consolation. So it's kind of God gives people miracles so that we stay on track when the miracles aren't there. So, you know, in our way of talking about it, there you are in the light room. It's wonderful. Then you're in the dark room and you realize that there's this poor guy stuck there in the dark room. And you know a light room is available.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to work very hard to get him out of that dark room and into the light room.
Yeah.
So we must work out our own salvation diligently. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you, sir.
We'll stay in touch.
All right. Good.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
Right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Melissa in Richmond, Virginia. How are you guys?
Good. And
great.
Yourself?
Good. I was in Connecticut on retreat last week, or is it last week? I don't even know anymore, but very recently. And it was so great. I mean, I can't do it justice, I don't think, but it was just I'm very grateful that I was able to make the time and the effort to get there. And my only regret, I guess, is that it wasn't longer. So it was very good. And I just was just grateful for everything, not the least of which was the biggest group of people I've ever been with in Sangha like that. I mean, I guess it was between 30 and 40 retreatants.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a connectedness that is hard to really, it's hard to sort of to fully grasp how you can be in the privileged environment and feel this connectedness with these people that for all intents and purposes, you're sort of not interacting with directly, but
yeah.
I'm very grateful. And
how can you fall in love with that many total strangers in that period of time?
It's amazing. And
mm-hmm.
and then just two things relating to the radio show is something that came up for me while I was there is it is just a very strange experience to hear people, you know, in group on the retreat that you've heard for all these months and years on the radio show. And it is literally to me like, I don't know if I bumped into George Clooney or whatever at Starbucks. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so-and-so. And you feel
right.
like you know these people, and it's like, this is crazy. But you just, and then hearing people on the other side, when you come back and you listen to the radio show, it's like, oh gosh, you feel just such a closeness. And it was, I'm so grateful. But one, and there's of course a million things post retreat I could report on, but the thing that struck me was the last, really the last probably half hour of the retreat before lunch. And then when we left, you know, Jen was going through, we were all talking about practice opportunities, and they're more than we could possibly have covered in an hour, but, what struck me was Jen, mentioned as far as upcoming events, she mentioned the New Year's retreat. And, you know, I've looked at that a million times on the website and heard about it. And it's like, it's not like I had this dialogue with somebody in my mind who was saying, you can't go. It wasn't even up for discussion. It was like, well, there's no way I can do that. I mean, it just
right.
can't be done. So it didn't even cross
just
my mind to have it. Yeah, it's just a
yeah.
given. I'm on this retreat, and, you know, it's October. It's, you know, there's no way I can go across the country in 2 months. And I don't know. Jen said, it's the best, I believe, and forgive me if I'm misquoting, but what I heard her say was, it's the best retreat of the year, and it's well worth coming across the country for. And it was like light bulb. And I just said, you know what? I don't have time off from work. I probably shouldn't go all the way across the country to do it, but I'm going to just start down the path and see how far I get to putting this in place. And, you know, unfortunately, my husband is not very helpful in terms of giving me external resistance. He'll say, you know, he said, yeah, you should immediately. I knew he would. He said, you should go. And as you know, Sherry, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, so that is not a small thing for him to say. He said, you should go. It's like, okay, that's the end of that conversation. I guess he's not going to argue with me. And so I said, well, I have no time off work. I'll just put in for the time. Maybe they'll say no, and that'll be the end of that conversation. Put in for the time. Within, you know, 24 hours, they approve the time off. It's like, okay, that's not going to work. And, you know, I was hoping, I have a good friend of mine who's also involved with the practice, and she had gone last year, and I said, oh, maybe she'll go. This will be so exciting for us to experience this together. But unfortunately, it wasn't going to work for her. And I was like, you know what? I still want to do it. And so, you know, slowly but surely I'm putting things in place to come, and I already sent in my my information form yesterday, and it's just amazing to me. I mean, in relation to sort of housekeeping things on the retreat, Jen had said something about assumptions, and she said, you know, the nature of assumptions is you don't know you're making them. And and that sounds like a small thing, but that was my experience with, you know, coming home and saying, if they do a retreat in Connecticut, yes, next year I will be there, but I can't wait till next year to go on another retreat. And, you know, before you know it, I put this stuff in place, and I am just, you know, I'm grateful does not seem to cover it, but I'm truly grateful and appreciative of, you know, just taking a step forward and seeing life open up.
Yes.
Basically.
Yep. And that's true everywhere all the time across the board, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we take a step and we take a step forward and we're answered. You know, it could be that it didn't work.
Right.
And yet there would be enough in that process for you to feel rewarded.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. It really is extraordinary. So I just, you know, it had been 3.5 years between my There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and this retreat. And, you know, now I'm just it just so happens I'm at a point in my life where I can really, more so than ever, you know, focus on awareness practice and realize, you know, what I came away from the retreat with is it has to come first. And by putting it first, immediately I am richly rewarded for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, small things and big things. And before I went on retreat, I was meditating 10 minutes a day. This will be a quick story because I know there's lots of people in line, but I was meditating 10 minutes in the morning, and sometimes I wouldn't get to it till, you know, late in the morning if I got to it in the morning. And when I came home, I said, I get up at 6 every morning. I have over an hour by myself. What am I doing that is more important than this? And there is nothing for me. And so I have been meditating, doing the daily recollection and sitting for half an hour by myself, obviously every morning since I've gotten home. And it's like, it is a gift that I give to myself every day, and let alone my children and my husband.
Yeah, I was going to say, to yourself and to your family and everybody
right.
else.
Little do they know, but it's a gift, and it's just richly, you know, the more you give, the more you get on so many different levels. So I just, I had never even tried to call in before, and I said, you know what, this is Sangha, this is what you need, and, you know, I'm incredibly grateful for all of it.
You're just getting green lights in every direction, aren't you?
I know. It's really crazy. Who knows what's going to happen next? So I told my husband, the kids weren't in bed yet, and I said, if I'm going to call into the show, I got to get on early. I'm going upstairs. Bye. And I left. And, you know, I have a partner who supports me in that. So it doesn't get any better than this. So I just wanted to thank you, Sherry, for the wonderful retreat. And as I said on retreat, Michael, I said, Open Air is literally the soundtrack of my life. I listen to the archives basically all day, every day. And there's nothing except for my recording, which I'm also listening to, that I made on retreat. It's like nothing could be more supportive to me. So I'm very grateful for all that you do, Michael, to put this show on week after week after week. It's extraordinary. So thank you.
And just so you can know, Jen is listening in, so she heard all of that too. So gratitude
around. It's amazing. You know, the other retreat I did, the monk who was there was Dave. And once you go on a retreat, you know, obviously I don't know what the monk's experience is, but you feel like, oh my gosh, this is my sister, my brother, my, you know, it's something that you really take with you and is truly a gift. So I appreciate it, Jen and Jan and Sherry and everybody who was there, and Michael, all that you do. And you'll be hearing from me, and you'll certainly be, as the way things are looking right now, I'll be seeing hopefully all of you over New Year's.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you for calling. And take good care of yourself and talk to you soon.
Thanks. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Melissa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Now, this is somebody with a year-old and a three-year-old.
Wow.
So, you know, when people start coming up with reasons they can't do practice, I think, you know, that there would be a good role model for all of us of probably I'm not any busier than that.
Yes. Talk about inspiring.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes.
And that whole idea that often we hear that doing something like awareness practice is selfish. And yet we know that when we are coming from center, working to be the kindest, most loving, compassionate people we can be, it can only be good for those that we're sharing life with. So that's inspiring too.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and a helpful message, and then we'll be right back.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Susan in California.
Hey, Susan.
Hi, Sherry.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. This is my first call in, and I've tried over the weeks, but this is kind of exciting.
Aha.
Yeah. you know, I have been looking at a part of me for the last, when I gave it as my sort of project, it's been at least a couple years ago, that young person inside of me.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I'm getting a clearer and clearer picture of her and how she has essentially been there, you know, of course, all my life, and how she plays in my life now. And one of the aspects that I wanted to talk to you about was when I was looking at retreats to join you with, I think it was at Mount Madonna, and it was with a couple women that I was just looking at their, retreat, and there was a book called Undefended Love, and so I thought, well, that sounds interesting, so I bought it and was kind of reading through it, and it had descriptions of the Enneagrams and how essentially this aspect of our personality that is so strong in us, and we seek this particular sort of way of being in life, because if we don't seek that, we feel this lack in life. And for me, it is very much seeking love and comfort and connection and that kind of thing. And I've been listening to archives, and it's so exciting. I feel like I've been picking up little clues as to the dynamic that's been playing in my life with my partner of over 30 years. And because I'm a two who is seeking these things, and he's a five who he seeks space and distance. And when you described how that if you have children, you know, there's this karmic connection. And I feel like this thing is such a challenge for me that in some of the archives and earlier today, there was mention of this huge energy drain. And there are times when we have conflict, and now I watch it. My stomach starts, my chest, my heart clenches, and I start feeling completely whitewashed and kind of faint in my head, my forehead. And it's this overwhelming sensation that I get to just see now. And sometimes I can just say, okay, Susan, you're going to go through this, and we're just going to, and I reassure myself and get through these sensations that seem so overwhelming to me.
And it is good to remember, isn't it, that what you've done for yourself with practicing in that way is prove that they're not overwhelming.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
They're big, they're scary, it's hard to go through, and you know that you're going to get to the other side of it.
Yeah, and the very curious thing about all this is that essentially that part of me just wants comfort and reassurance and love, and I just can't seek it from the outside, especially from someone who is wanting space and distance. And
well, yes, and if I understand it correctly, it's really the karmic horror perfection of it is that when you are most desirous of reassurance and connection, that's the very thing that makes him most want to get away and have space.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you're not so much that way, then he feels safe enough to come close.
To a certain extent.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Safer to come closer.
Yeah.
Not by a two standards, but for a five, you know, probably really reaching out there.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing is that some of his issues with me of not listening right and not doing things right and these things, I used to take them on, you know, like, I'll try harder.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do this. I'll do the things that you want. But it is a losing
right.
dance.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And isn't practice perfect for that? Because what you get to see is that you get to provide that for you. And that's great, because you're the one who knows exactly what you need and how you need it and what causes you to feel connected and loved and reassured and comforted and all of that. And that takes the burden off of him. It also takes the burden off of you of trying to twist yourself into somebody who's going to please him and get his approval.
So exactly.
It's just a giant relief for everybody.
Yeah. And I guess in working with this whole process, the issue of intimacy and connection, and like even as one of the callers, well, you were just talking too about Sangha and that connection and
mm-hmm.
intimacy that is really created. And it seems like really the only way you can do that is being intimate with yourself.
Yes.
And giving it all to yourself.
Yes. So
am I on the right track?
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's my experience anyway. So that you come from a place of wholeness or
mm-hmm.
completion, satisfaction. And then from that place, you can really be open to appreciating and enjoying, valuing connection with others.
Mm-hmm.
But because all of that only happens at center, right?
Yeah.
So if we move out of center and we become somebody who needs something and is lacking and feels deprived, and then we're identified with karmic conditioning, and of course karmic conditioning doesn't want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's that conversation about, well, he's that way and he wants that and you can't and you this and he that, and it just everybody just gets farther and farther apart.
Yeah. So when there's not enough, or there's nothing wrong, or there's something wrong, there is no capacity for intimacy.
Correct. Yes, yeah. Because we're identified with a separate self that is attempting to maintain separation in order to maintain itself.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do we not have the capacity, but what's there is actively pushing intimacy away.
Yeah. Yeah, and that striving for something, it just doesn't work.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't work, and it's meant not to work.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if I'm trying to please you and I'm coming from egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, then I'm not going to look for any evidence at all of how I'm pleasing you. I'm just going to look for every raised eyebrow of disapproval that I can project onto you.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm out of center like that, identified with karmic conditioning, you could even be telling me that I'm doing fine, you know, you really appreciate what I'm doing, or I'm a great person or whatever, but I'm going to be listening to a voice that says, yeah, but she doesn't really mean that.
Uh-huh.
She's just saying that because she just wants you to go away and leave her alone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
When we're doing it from center, it doesn't even, none of that occurs to us because it's not happening in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not listening to voices that are comparing this and that and looking for evidence, and it's just not there. That's not what we're operating from.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this is just, it's so fabulous, Sherry. I'm so thankful and grateful for all you've done and what all the monks have done and our whole Sangha. It's so
mm-hmm.
exciting.
Yes, that we're all here together and we're all doing this together.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely the best, because we would each and every one of us be pretty much lost on our own.
Oh my gosh. It's the truth.
Yeah.
And the bridge walk, that was one of the happiest days of my life. That was so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. And so we'll do a commercial, right? Because I'm hoping you and your family are going to be there next October.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is.
Absolutely.
For the 10th annual. I mean, that is going to be a party.
Yeah, that was great fun. I just have one more question. Mm-hmm. When you're multitasking, are you out of center?
Well,
are you in conditioning?
Yeah, I'm a person who does not subscribe to the theory of multitasking. And it's my understanding, based on a couple of articles that people have sent me, that other folks are now on board with the fact that that's a giant con job from ego. That, in fact, we can only attend to one thing at a time. Go ahead.
And then you have a chance at being at center.
Precisely. And so you can attend to this, and then attention, of course, can move at lightning speed to whatever it turns to next. So it can seem, if a person isn't paying close attention, like they're doing a whole bunch of things at the same time. But it's not true. And the chances of losing focus and getting lost and karmic conditioning taking over the operation are extraordinary.
Yeah, I think I'm a brilliant multitasker.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you're questioning that?
I'm kind of looking at am I really here?
Uh-huh.
When I've got all this going on, because I work quickly and I'm happy, you know, but I kind of question whether I'm really, really all there.
Yes, or you know, is it that you are all there? So don't let conditioned mind step in there and start making meaning out of things, because you could be really present and your attention is just moving from thing to thing to thing to thing, and you're happy doing that because nothing else is going on.
Okay. Because it reminded me of being in the kitchen at the monastery and kind of working and doing things and just...
It's like it's a dance.
Yeah. And I'm glad I asked you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to pay attention to the process that's going on, because it could very well be the case that sometimes you're really completely absorbed in what you're doing, paying really close attention, you're there in awareness, nothing left over to be thinking about an old conversation or what you're going to do next, but just right 100% there. And then other times it could be that something quite different is going on, and you would notice that if, in fact, you're just kind of quickly moving from thing to thing to thing to thing and being told you're multitasking when actually you're not present to any of the things that you're engaged with.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah. It's one of, you know, it's one of those places. It's a very awareness practice kind of place. And it's one of them that I suspect we will just about never have an answer for. You know, it's one of those where, well, you know, I feel pretty centered. Or it would actually be, well, you know, I felt pretty centered. Because by the time I'm talking to you about whether I'm really present, then I have actually moved away from that state that I was just in, so that I can be somebody who's describing it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like when I'm in the middle of it, what would it look like to try to speak from that place? Would that be possible? It'll be fun to explore.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean by that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
yeah.
you are so engaged in what you're doing that there's just...
Yeah, there's
yeah.
nothing left over.
Yeah. That there aren't any other thoughts and other things buzzing around.
Right. Yeah. Or could I be, is it possible to be doing a lot of things very, very quickly and receiving information? So, you know, I've got these three pans going on the stove and all of the things are cooking and bubbling away and I'm stirring them and then it drops in. You forgot to add the onions. So it looks like a thought and yet it feels more like the same part of the dance as stirring this and knowing when to turn the flame down under that and when that one, and it's all part of the dance.
And that would be conditioning if it was the voice part?
I wouldn't assume that.
No.
Could be.
Uh-huh.
See, that's that place where we
yeah.
we can just kind of make peace with, I can experiment with this, I can explore it, I can have all kinds of awarenesses about it, but will I ever be able to say with certainty, that's that?
Yeah, because it
not
could have been just smell that you weren't smelling it, and then it came to your consciousness
yes.
of not
yes.
smelling the onion, and then it came.
Yes,
it,
so
could
be the intelligence
routes.
That animates you simply informing you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the bottom line encouragement, of course, is pay really close attention, explore like crazy. Don't assume you're ever going to be sure about anything in this life.
Uh-huh. And keep it light. Don't
keep
it serious.
Light. Yes, exactly. Oh, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as soon as we let go of the idea that there's something to know and I'm supposed to know it and it's going to mean something about me if I do...
Yeah,
if I get it right,
better get it.
Yeah, if I get it right, then I'm the right person. And if I don't, as soon as we get, you know, we drop that. It's like the, you know, the kids you teach, right? I think kindergarten?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not locked in yet to the same degree that we are to I have to get everything right in order to be the right person.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a much greater ability to just be there and enjoying whatever is there and open to it and seeing it and learning it and finding out and, you know, slowly, of course, we'll destroy that. But
uh-huh.
at that age, they're still very much in the, you know, life is here to be lived. Not it's not, as they say, a problem to be solved or you know, a mirror that's going to prove there's something wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
And that,
uh-huh.
that's more the attitude of mind that I think we want to... with
that
us.
Openness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you.
So glad you called in.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care.
Good night. Then.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was a fun little exploration at the end there.
It was. And just that for all of us to remember that life loves us. And all of this is, and all of us is here for our enjoyment. And to be approached with loving kindness and acceptance and compassion. Rather than
problem to be solved.
A problem to be solved. Yeah. Makes my head hurt just to say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you
and
next time.
Yes. And thank you for everyone.
Everyone. Thank us, everyone, and everyone, good night.
Yes. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Good night, Michael.
Good night.